This is Part B of the Day of Atonement, 2009. Now let's continue in John 8. Verse 34 again. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin." Now this is why when you are converted, you don't practice sin. You can't live in sin because the Holy Spirit will prick your conscience so that you will repent. Verse 35, "And the servant does not live in the house forever, but the Son lives forever. Therefore, if the Son shall set you free, you shall truly be free." Now he's talking about free from sin and free from Satan the devil, as we will see. Because here they were, right at the temple. The children of Israel? Yes, indeed. Notice what Jesus said in answering them. He said, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you're seeking to kill me, because my words do not enter into your minds. I speak the things that I've seen from my Father, and you do the things that you have seen from your Father." And this is why the Day of Atonement shows why Satan must be removed. Because you can have everyone, you know, good intentions as may be on the surface, but what's really in their hearts and minds? See? You can never get rid of those things as long as Satan is around. He must be removed. And we'll see in a little bit. Likewise, Satan is still after the church. Likewise, he wants to get us who have been removed from the world spiritually and placed in God's way. He wants to get us back from that into his way, into the world. And I'm afraid in too many cases, he has succeeded because people just do not have a deep commitment to serve God unto death. Especially in today's comfortable world. Well, that's soon going to change. Let's continue on here. He says, "I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're seeking to kill me because my words do not enter into your mind. I speak the things I've seen from my Father, and you do the things that you have seen from your Father." And they answered and said to him, "Our father's Abraham." And Jesus said to them, "I know you're Abraham." He said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." And what did Abraham do? He believed and obeyed. "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." Then they said to him, "We have not been born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God." Deceived. They think that God is their father. "Therefore, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would have loved me because I proceeded forth and came from God. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words." Why? Remember here, there were those who believed in him. They were all at the temple. You see, and the thing is, a physical temple on earth does not convert a person. You need to understand that. Here's a good example of it. So here he identified it. Verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice." So you see, even though Jesus was there in person, at the temple in person, and they were there at the temple in person, sin still exists because Satan has not been removed. And a lot of these pretenders were of their father, the devil. Jesus continues. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. And he says, and because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Yet it said over here, these were the Jews who had believed in him. Not belief unto conversion. See, there is a belief, oh yes, God exists, wonderful, 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 let us continue in our sins. There is a belief to conversion, and that's through repentance and baptism. So he says, verse 46, which one of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear, because you are not of God. There they were, very religious. That's why Satan has to be removed. That's why the Day of Atonement, they have that special sacrifice with the two goats. One to be presented for the Lord and offered as a sacrifice. The one upon whom the sins were confessed. Because he's the author of sin. And Satan must be removed bearing his own sins, because there is no forgiveness for all the sins that Satan has been responsible for bringing upon man. Now, some people do not like me to say Satan inspires, but he puts in the heart, and if he puts in the heart, to me, that's inspiring, that he caused all people to do. He has to be removed. Now then, because they were deceived, because they were blinded. That's why then, all of those who lived and died in that condition, you'll have to wait to hear the message for the last great day. They will have an opportunity for salvation, but not the kind of salvation that comes with the first resurrection. That's special. That's a special calling. And brethren, I want you to understand it. And we also need to realize this. Satan is still out there, and the ones that he is after are those of us, you and me, that if he can get us to deviate from the way of God, turn from God, become filled with vanity and self, become filled with self-righteousness and stupidity, believing false doctrines, looking to ministers of Satan the devil who appear as ministers of righteousness because Satan appears as an angel of light. And we're living in those days when there are going to be many false prophets, many false teachers, showing great signs and wonders to even deceive us. That's what Satan wants to use to deceive us. So on this Day of Atonement, we have got to resolve in our minds, with the same commitment, the same kind of yieldedness to God that we did on the day we were baptized, that we will resist Satan the devil and fight him, because he is still in the world and out after us. Now let's come to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and let's see the prophecies of how Jesus said that Satan would be after us, and how the churches fall victim to the wiles of the devil. Now remember Peter. Jesus was telling the disciples, look, I have to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be killed, and I'll rise the third day. And I will suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and everything. And Peter said, Lord, that'll never happen to you. And what did Jesus say to him? Get you behind me, Satan, for you savor the things of men, not the things of God. Right there in the midst with the disciples, and just before that, a few verses before that, the account says of Peter, whom do the men say that I am? Some are Jeremiah, some of the prophets. And he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, the Father revealed that to you, Simon. So, a little while later on the same journey, he says to Peter, get you behind me, Satan, for you savor the things of men, not of God. And then on the Passover night, what happened to Peter? Jesus told him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But he said, I have prayed for you. Satan has requested you. But I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. And when you have been strengthened, strengthen the brethren. And he did deny him three times, right there. Where was Satan on the Passover night? Right in the room with Jesus and the disciples. Isn't that right? With Judas Iscariot. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. So Satan is also after the church. And we need to understand it in these last days. He's going to persecute the church. He's going to make war against the church. Revelation 12. Now let's look at just a little bit of Revelation 2 and 3 concerning the status of the church and how people respond to God. So we know, let's come to the church at Ephesus here, Ephesians 2, or Revelation 2 rather, where Jesus says, verse 2, I know your works and your labor and your endurance, and you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you did test those who proclaim themselves to be apostles but are not, and did find them liars. So they did a lot. They were vigilant right at first. And that you have borne much and have endured for my name's sake and have labored and have not grown weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you because you have left your first love. So they began to cool down. And that means they began to love people and things more than God and preaching the gospel and doing what they should. So he tells them to repent. But they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now let's come down to the church at Pergamos. Church at Smyrna. They were faithful unto death, and they were commended. No sins. Now, verse 12, to the church at Pergamos. To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Now, he's saying that for a reason. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, where the throne of Satan is. And you are holding fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, in which Antipas was my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Now what happens when you get in the middle of where Satan has his chief headquarters? Or where Satan has other headquarters? He has many locations in the earth. You get in a city like New York City or Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles, California or San Francisco, California. You're right there, people living in sin and living in lies and living in duplicitous lives and committing all kinds of sin. It's going to affect you. So it affected them. He says, but I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the teaching of Balaam, the son of Balak, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. So they were bringing in idol worship. They were probably not taking the Passover the way that they should, but were into what is now called in Christianity today the Lord's Supper. And they would bow down before a cross, just like they do in the Catholic Church today. And so when they go against the laws of God, they are committing fornication with idols. And remember, Paul wrote, you cannot eat of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You cannot take the world's way of their interpretation of the Lord's Supper and communion and say, oh, isn't that nice? And they do this every Sunday. Isn't that lovely? That's an abomination to God. Verse 15. Moreover, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? That is an overlording lordship over the brethren, plus a false grace, that once you have been saved, you have always been saved, and you have, even though you're living in sin, you're going to be saved. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And you have seen what God has done to the church for those churches that follow that, right? Yes. Where are they? Some still have to be reckoned with. Notice what he says here in verse 16, repent. For if you do not repent, I will come to you quickly and will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Christ fighting his own church because they have practices in there inspired by Satan the devil, because they absorbed it by living in the world and too close to the things of Satan the devil. And they thought, well, this is good. Oh, this works. Just like today, ministers and teachers are not called ministers and teachers. They're speakers and psychologists and CEOs. And they're interested in their money and their retirement and not in teaching God. Not in teaching God's way to the people. And that's where hierarchies lead to. Look at the Catholic Church. Look at the Anglican Church. Look at the Worldwide Church of God. And there are three other churches of God out there that those who are the leaders of it better listen up and pay attention, because the sword of the Lord is coming upon you for your hideous sins and your arrogance and authority that you have in ruling over the brethren. Now, if any of you brethren who are under that, you better get out from underneath that, lest you suffer with them. Christ will fight against you. Notice he says, the one who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is Christ talking to his churches. We better listen up and pay attention. Notice, they didn't pay much attention because the next church became even worse. Thyatira, verse 20, but I have a few things against you because you allow the woman Jezebel, that's the Roman Catholic Church, Jezebel, that's what God thinks of you, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. That's what the whole service of the Roman Catholic Church is about. Idolatry and blasphemy against the sacrifice of Christ. And he says, I gave her time to repent of her fornication, but she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And that came between 1000 and 300 A.D., the Catholic Church was in terrible turmoil with plagues and all things against them because they wouldn't listen. Notice, verse 23, and I will kill her children with death. No spiritual salvation through that. That's what the Day of Atonement is all about. to give you the understanding between the true God and the true Savior, and Satan the devil and his false Messiah, though he calls him Jesus. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Then he says this, but I say to you and the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who do not know the depths of Satan as they speak. How far into Satanism can people go, even though they were in the Church of God? The answer is all the way. That's why Satan has to be removed. Plain and simple. There can be no salvation to this world until that is done. Is right there at the temple with Jesus and the disciples, right there at the Passover with the apostles, right there ready, begging, wanting for Peter, but Jesus prayed for him that he wouldn't have him. Now you think about us, the days that we're living in, and the things we need to understand. That's why, since we have the whole Bible, we have all the Word of God, we know the plan of salvation. We better not treat it lightly. We better not treat it with contempt. We better not treat it with oh-hum-ism, but we better rejoice in it and live it and love it and thank God for it and stay zealous for God all the time. Now notice the next church here, Sardis. They're in pitiful shape. They have a name that they live, but they are dead. Dead. So Jesus gives them an admonition, doesn't lay too much upon them. He says, be watchful. I haven't found your works perfect or complete before me, and strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember what you have received and heard and hold to this and repent. But if you don't, I'm going to come as a thief in the night, and I'm going to come upon you, and you're not going to know when that hour comes. And the question is then, do you have enough to be saved or not? Then the Church of Philadelphia, the one who's faithful to God, but notice what they have to fight. Notice what they have to constantly be on guard against, and they are the only ones who really were on guard against it. Let's read it here. Verse 8. Church of Philadelphia, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no one has the power to shut it, because you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. See, we deny Jesus' name by our works, by our attitudes, and our relationship with God, if we let it fall into losing the first love, following the ways of the world, getting involved deeply into Satanism and Spiritism, or just becoming plain dead. And we'll see the next one is lukewarm. Now notice, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, verse 9, who proclaim themselves to be Jews, that is, they know the way of salvation through Jesus, but they don't, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Now notice, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the time of temptation which is about to come upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. And then the last one is Laodiceans, lukewarm. They're cool. Isn't it interesting that in this age that term is used for, oh, that's great, cool. Hey, they're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Many have already been spewed out of the mouth of Christ, and they still don't get it. Because they're looking to the physical things. Yes, God blesses us with physical things, but when you look to those as the sign of your spiritual standing with God, you make a great mistake. If you want to learn a real good lesson, go back and read the life of Solomon, who was the world's greatest Laodicean. Rich and increased with goods of everything that there you could possibly ever imagine. Was he spewed out of God's mouth? Mm-hmm, sure was. The Bible doesn't show that he repented. And he divided the kingdom, did he not? Now just stop and ask yourself a question. What has God done to the church as we know it? We've been spewed out of the mouth of God, haven't we? Yes, indeed. And out of that then, there are going to be those who are faithful, those who don't care, those who are dead, those who are going to go right back into the world, those who will re-embrace Satan, the devil, and all of that. So you see, this is why Satan has to be put away. This is what the Day of Atonement is all about. Who is the true Savior? The true God. And who is the deceiver? The angel of light, who wants to destroy all human beings and to destroy all Christians. That's why Satan the devil must be removed, and this Day of Atonement tells us the story or the account of God's plan and that he will do it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.